guest this hour, Steve Wilson of the Wilson Banjo Company. Brand new album, 6 Degrees of Separation. A lot of fun talking to Steve. Steve builds banjos. I like banjos. We're going to talk about some of the special work that he does on banjos and talk a lot about this new album and all the super guests on Wilson Banjo Company's new release, 6 Degrees of Separation. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard When the Crow Comes Down, which is a great single soon to be released on the album 6 Degrees of Separation by Wilson Banjo Company, and I'm very fortunate, and you are fortunate, to have on Unreal Bluegrass today, Steve Wilson. How are you, Steve?
Oh, I'm doing very well, Steve. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm just so happy to talk to you. I love this album, 6 Degrees of Separation. There are 11 cuts. There's 12. There's two variations of the last cut, the Long Hard Day. There's an instrumental. Just a lot of a great mix of music and talent. We could go forever and list all the people that join in to lend a hand. And we'll mention some of them, and I'm sure we'll forget some because the list goes on forever. You've pulled in a lot of great players.
Yeah, it's a big list, yeah.
And I think, Steve, from knowing you, that a lot of that comes, I think, it comes from the fact that you are a player, and now you're also a banjo manufacturer. We're going to talk a little bit about your banjos also because I love banjos. I'm going to talk about those, but I think you're getting the respect back. Yes, you could pay anybody to show up on an album, but this list is so impressive. I think it's a payback. Not a payback, but a recognition of what you bring to the sound and to the music and your genuine desire to make good sounds. I think that's the way I interpret it. I hope you do.
Oh, I couldn't be happier with all the people that stepped in and helped me out with this album. I mean, and it's my tribute to the music that I love and the music that I've gotten into and wrapped my whole life around, really. So, and for me to get to work with these people is a privilege to me, you know. So yes, it's a great thing.
The name of the name of the band Wilson, or this album Wilson Banjo Company. I think we talked about this before. This is not a band that you're going to see out performing because you travel and perform with other bands. I'll talk about also, but there is sort of a core group on this album, 6 Degrees of Separation. We're going to back up a little in a minute and talk about the tune we just played, which is the opening cut, When the Crow Comes Down. But if you had a core of people in this band, who would you name?
Well, I've got some people that are on this album quite a bit that have worked with me in the past and were on some of the other albums that I did for Wilson Banjo Company and also played out on stage with me when I had the band touring Wilson Banjo Company. Michael Curtis Branch, he's playing bass on a lot of this stuff, and he played with me on stage a lot with Wilson Banjo Company, recorded on the last album with me. Sarah Logan, of course, singing the lead vocals on a lot of this stuff. She was the voice of Wilson Banjo Company when we were out on the road.
Okay.
And also was on the last album, Spirits from the Hills. Glenn Crane, he's also worked with me a lot, been out on the road with me with Wilson Banjo Company. Matter of fact, he was on the Guardian album, very first EP that started it all.
Okay.
Blake Young, he's recorded with me a lot. He's played out with me. Stephen Hudson is on there playing fiddle on one cut. One cut. And doing some harmony work. He's played out with me on stage. And with Wilson Banjo Company, and been on. Matter of fact, he was on the first recording as well. He did all the vocal work, most all the vocal work on the first EP that we did. So that's probably the main core band, I guess, if you want to call it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to put, because there's so many people that join in and lend their talents at such a high level to everything that happens on this album. And and you're a great banjo player, and it's
well, thank you.
I enjoy your sound. It's very, very crisp, very clean, very, banjo players can get consumed with speed or flashiness, I think, sometimes. To me, the secret's always been to be there and to be heard and to feel the rest of it and join in with the rest of the sound and not be oppressive to the point that people want you off stage. And just kind of blend into the mix and pull and be a part
of the song.
Be a part of the song. That's right. Unless it's just going to be some everybody recognizes a banjo instrumental led by a banjo, that's fine. But, I mean, for the most part, you fit into the band concept so well. And I know you've had experience playing with bands. Let's back up. We started off this part of the program with When the Crow Comes Down, which is an interesting kind of a little bit of a spooky song. I understand from you that you're working on a video that will be available soon to go with that single, which is being released. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's going to be. I'm not sure when exactly we're going to be putting the video out, but it won't be too much longer.
Okay.
And it's as spooky as the song is. It's pretty cool.
Well, tell me a little bit about the song and how it arrived at your doorstep to put on this album, 6 Degrees of Separation.
Well, that song's a song that was co-written by Jordan Rayner, and she's an amazing singer-songwriter out of Nashville. And we got the song from Cheryl Blackman. And we actually got the song for another project that I was producing for another artist. And once we got done kind of putting everything together for that album, it just didn't quite fit that artist. And so the song got set aside. And at that point, I mean, I heard Sarah's vocal on that for sure. So I thought, well, we can definitely put our spin on that and do something with that song. So we picked it up and started working on an arrangement for it and started putting people together to be on that one. And the musicians on that one is Michael Porchop Branch on bass and Richard Bennett's on guitar on that one.
Who, by the way, and I've told you this before, I'm so glad to hear Richard Bennett on an album. I'm such a fan of his. I don't get to see him that often. I guess the last time I saw him was with Chesapeake. Gosh, that goes back a ways.
That's a few years ago, huh?
Yeah, that's Jimmy Gaudreau and was it John Starling? I forget. Gosh, that goes back a while.
Yeah. Richard's I just absolutely love. I've worked in the studio a lot with him, and you know, I recorded stuff for him and Sean Lane and Flashback, and I've got a chance to really work a lot in the studio with Richard, and oh my Lord, what an artist he is. I mean, his visions when he gets to work on something is just amazing to sit back and watch him.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear him. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I did want to make mention to the audience that, you know, Richard Bennett, hey, thanks for showing up and being part of an album that we can play and listen to again. And we look for him everywhere, but he just pops up at the best times, I think, sometimes. So we were talking about that tune, When the Crow Comes Down, which is kind of a spooky tune. The audience just heard it. It's interesting to me that you lead off with that tune. There's a lot of great good-feeling gospel-type tunes, or religious-oriented tunes in the album. Then you end with Longhorn Day, which is also kind of a spooky song. So you have these bookends, of kind of spooky graveyard images and autumn leaves. We're talking about people leave, you know, the graveyard again and the stones and people being the same underneath the autumn leaves. I don't know how that worked out, if it was just an accidental lineup or... and in the middle, there's all these uplifting things. Ambassador and Colors of My Life, these things are very positive and speak well of a religious inclination. But your bookends are spooky songs.
But isn't that what we all are, though? We all have our spooky side.
You're right.
You're right. In bluegrass, it couldn't describe life better than, I mean, this genre is about life.
Yes. Right? Oh, yeah. It is.
We explore all kinds of our parts and pieces of our mind.
and then Steve and I have talked before about the album a little bit, just the way it's set up. And you go the whole distance until you get to the last song, and you recognize that one of those traditional life-taking experiences has happened somewhere within the song of A Long Hard Day. And you went and waited and waited and waited until you got to the very last. Like you said, it's bluegrass music is about life that happens. But your traditional death ballad, murder ballad, kill ballad winds up being at the very last end. It's a great song. It's so many beautiful voices, and I can't name them all, but I do like the blend of everything, and you've mentioned some of them. We will get to some of the other ones, too, as we go. Since I talked about a couple of songs of this this nature, The Ambassador is the third cut on the album, and that is tell me a little bit about that tune, because it has a very clear message.
The Ambassador, that was, the way that song came about was really cool, because that song was originally slated as an instrumental that I had written for the album, and it was quite a bit faster, you know, and it had multiple parts coming in and playing their solos, and I was in the studio with Middlecross recording an album for them, And we got done tracking one day, and we were just kind of sitting around the studio talking a little bit, and we all had our instruments out, and I grabbed my banjo out and started picking with the guys. So I said, well, why don't you play an instrumental that I'm writing with me, whatever. So we started playing on this instrumental, and they all dropped right in and caught right onto it, started playing. And the guy that does a lot of the lead singing for them, Stephen Briggs, he also writes a lot of their material. And he's sitting right next to me as we're playing this instrumental, and he starts singing. So I kind of scooted over a little closer to him, and he's singing these words, and the ambassador, and he starts, and I went, wow. So I asked everybody to stop. I said, can we slow it down a little bit? And so we slowed the tempo down a little bit and told him to start singing again, you know? So he just started right off the cuff, started singing these words.
So that was just impromptu.
Yeah. He heard this song coming out of this instrumental that we were playing.
Well, you got to capture that.
Oh, yeah. So I said, man, I said, we need to write this song. He said, okay, fine, let's do it. So I put together a demo of the music at a slower pace down about where we were playing it and sent it over to him. And then he sent me back a lyric sheet, you know, of words. And I read through this stuff and started kind of plugging it into place. I went, wow. So we
that's incredible. That's an incredible story.
When I heard the song finished in the demo, I said, man, that's Sean Lane right there.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Song.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Oh, gosh. It's a great story. And, yeah, it's a perfect song. You're right. It's a perfect song for Sean. Perfect.
Yeah.
You mentioned you reach for your banjo. We hinted at this a while ago after the opening cut. You build banjos. You build Wilson banjos, right?
Yes, sir, I do. Yeah.
And I know that you really, I would consider someone wants to get a Wilson banjo, it's going to be a custom. You're going to build a custom banjo. In other words, you don't have a factory or a factory floor or a showroom full of a stock of banjos. If they want a banjo from you, you're going to be in contact with them, and you're going to pick out, depending on the tone they want, the type of wood, and all the other parts of that, it'll be made just for them.
Absolutely. Yep. All the way down to the inlay design. I mean, we can customize the inlay design, make it however you want, and whatever parts you want. Doesn't have to be a certain model or anything like that. It's got to be what you want and what you're happy with.
Go ahead.
I just meant, you know, it's something that you need to be happy with when we're done, and it's exactly what you want.
We've talked a little bit off the air, Steve, because I like banjos, and I know just enough about them to be confused, but I can ask you this, of the different types of wood, the people that are listeners get to put up a little bit of geek talk for a minute on banjos. So my questions, your answers, but I look at basically three types of wood for what I consider to be the guts of a banjo. You have walnut and mahogany and maple. And I know that you are aware of very distinct tones or sounds that will come from any of those. So can you talk a little bit about what do you play most of the time, and why did you choose that type of wood, and just let us know a little bit about the difference in the tones.
Oh, sure, absolutely. My go-to wood is mahogany, because for my taste, I like a warmer, deeper tone. And the mahogany is a softer wood than maple is. And I really don't know how to explain it other than warmer and deeper.
Yeah, and you can't, you know, for the people listening, it's not a question of loudness. Every banjo can be loud if you're really bearing down. You don't need to do it all the time. It is a question of tone, which is in your head and in the player's head, probably more so than the audience. But I understand what you're saying. I played mahogany banjos. I have a walnut Sullivan, which to me that's a lighter, smaller sound. I have to describe it as a smaller sound to me.
Yeah.
Maple to me is like if you want hard charging, full in your face banjo when you need to do it, the hard maple is the one that just I think people are maybe used to with Earl and Sonny and JD, yeah, that kind of sound. But there are different tones. Yeah. And it's not the loudness. They can all be loud. They're made to be loud. I understand what you're saying about the woods. And you also make banjos. One of the heaviest components of a banjo that we all suffer with and enjoy is the incredible weight of the tone ring that's built into when people out there in the audience looking. It's right below that head. There's a tone ring. Weighs a lot. And it adds to the sound and the volume. Some people say exclusively, some people say not, but you make banjos with without that part. You make them with a wooden rim that takes the place of the rim and also the ring.
Yeah, I've got one out there called the Guardian, and Dale Perry actually plays that banjo. He has it now. And that banjo is kind of what started this whole thing, to be honest with you. I had a 30s model TB-01 Gibson, and that model banjo didn't have the heavy tone ring. All it had was a quarter-inch brass hoop that sat on top of the wood rim. And when I had that banjo, it's just so light, and you can still, with the right setup, I mean, you still get a fantastic sound out of this banjo. And I absolutely love that banjo. So when I started to build the Guardian, I built it after that one, you know, kind of fashioned it after that. So I wanted to go with the quarter-inch brass hoop, no tone ring, and I got a hold of Tony Pass and asked him to build me a rim for that banjo. I wanted to still keep the body of the sound, so he said, well, let's do a thin skirt rim on the inside, you know, to give us more space on the inside of the banjo for the sound to, you know, collect in there. And so I sent him out some parts that I had, and he built me a rim for it. And then when I got it back and put this banjo together, also a mahogany banjo, it was fantastic. It was, and I played it for a couple of years. And then I met up with Dale Perry over in Chattanooga at a festival, and he took it backstage and was practicing a little bit. He said, let me take it up for our next set. He was playing for Dave Parmley and Cardinal Traditions.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, let me take it up for my next set. I said, sure, absolutely. So he took it up and played it, and when he got off the stage, he said, all right, well, you take my banjo home. I'm taking this.
That, you know, that's an amazing story, because we Steve and I have talked before, as the listening audience, and we talk about banjo stuff, and Tony Pass, who you mentioned, was a wonderful human being, and I know that I ran across him at one of the IBMA matters. I know it was in Louisville, so it goes back at least that far, and once I found him, whenever I wasn't doing something else specifically, I was just sitting around talking to Tony, because he was such a great guy, but he started making these things that were combining, really, the purpose of the rim and the tone ring into a piece of wood, and people would come by and play them, and they didn't know. He would hand them one, and they couldn't tell that it didn't have the big metal three whatever pound tone ring on it. And then you start thinking, well, all these years I've been thinking I got to get this special composite ring and this, and then some people will say it's the neck. You know, there are builders that say the neck makes all the tone, and but so there's so many different variables. You really just have to be able to play to your ear and what you want to play, and if you're good playing, you can make it sound great. But that's a great story about Dale and him playing that. So those are things that you still can make. Do you play one now that has that configuration?
I've actually built myself a couple banjos since then, and they both ended up in somebody else's hands. And now I'm playing a banjo that I put together out of necessity. It's the parts and pieces banjo that I built the neck for. And it's got some Gibson parts in it, and it's got some parts that I couldn't tell you where they come from. So, and I'm getting ready to build me another one, and the next one that I'm going to build is one like the Guardian. It's going to be another no-tone ring banjo for sure.
Well, and let's talk about, we know that the music from 6 Degrees of Separation, which is ostensibly our reason for the call, can be found on a website, Wilson Banjo Company, and there's other places people can find it. Am I right on that?
It's wilsonbanjo.com.
Okay. But you won't have, because of this custom order feature that you offer for the instruments you make, there won't be a collection of photographs of buy this or buy this and prices. You really are. If you want a banjo from Steve, you need to contact him and pick out the parts that fit what you want to have. And everybody has different tastes. So we've talked about instruments. Let's talk about the only instrumental on the album, 6 Degrees of Separation. I want you to lead into this, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you some more. But you get to pronounce the only instrumental on 6 Degrees of Separation. Then I want you to have you introduce it, and then we'll come back.
It's a Quina. It's a Quina.
And it stands for?
It is right up the road here in South Carolina in Wahala. It's the Quina Falls. And there's an old Cherokee legend that a Cherokee girl had jumped off these falls with her lover, and it's a big legend. And like I said, it's right up the road here. And Glenn Crane and myself wrote this song. As I said before, my instrumental turned into a vocal tune, so we ended up needing a new instrumental for the album. And Glenn was over here at the house working on some stuff with me one day, and we decided to finish off and write this instrumental. And when we did, we got to talking about the name and what's it going to be, and we started talking about imagery, and he said, well, it makes me feel like I'm standing, like, right on the edge of a waterfall, you know? And I said, yes. I said, absolutely. I said, and the rest of it, you know, some of the other breaks sound like the white water kind of coming down, and then other parts of the song sound like you're right on the edge of the falls. So that's where the name come from, Issaquena.
All right, good enough. We're going to play now, and you stick around. We're going to come back and talk to Steve Wilson as we're going through Wilson Banjo Company's Six Degrees of Separation. This will be Issaquena, the only instrumental on the whole album. You just got a perfect intro there. We'll come back in just a second after you listen to this. There it is. Issaquena, thanks so much, Steve, for explaining the title. it's the only instrumental of 11 or 12. There's actually 12 cuts and two changes on Long Hard Day, but that's a fun instrumental. I'm glad that you stuck to your guns when you lost Ambassador in a beautiful way to the lyric that just kind of spontaneously arrived, that you realized you got to at least sneak an instrumental on there to feature on that.
Got to sneak at least one in.
You got to do that. Here's some of the tunes. I really enjoy all of these, and I listen through. This happens to me often, and my favorite changes. So Issaquena instrumental is certainly going to be one of my favorites forever. I like the story behind, there's a lot of great songs. She's a Gambler's a great song, Just a Few More Miles. Colors of My Life, again, a beautiful story. Old Fashioned Way is a story that just really appeals to me and how that came together. It's a great song, but it happens to be one of my favorites because of the story it tells. But the way that song came about to me is fascinating.
Yeah, that song, a lot of the bluegrassers out there and people know of Severin Thiner that lives over in Germany. And he's a huge supporter of the bluegrass community and you know, collects records. He's got huge collections of people's albums, and he's just supports everybody. And we've gotten to know him very, very well. And he just ordered a Wilson custom banjo last year. And so we got this banjo built for him, custom designed it for him. And when we were putting together songs for this album, he had sent over, before that, he had sent over one of his albums so we could check out. He had a band called Backyard Kingdom. And we were kind of listening through that, and I heard this one song, Old Fashioned Ways, and I thought, man, that would make a great bluegrass song. You know, it's just got it's well written, and it's a song that he wrote. And so I contacted him about that. I said, would you mind us, you know, cutting that song on the new record? And he said, absolutely. I mean, I'd be honored for you to. So I went ahead and got in the studio and did kind of just a little demo of an arrangement of it and sent it over to him and said what he thought. And he really liked the arrangement. And we got to talking a little bit. I said, well, why don't you go ahead and sing the lead on this one? He goes, you want me to sing it? I said, yeah, absolutely. He's got a great voice and does a really good job. He's a great musician. So we went ahead and got some scratch track together. And then sent the scratch track over to Germany. He was wondering if his friend plays mandolin with him and wondering if he could play on it too. I said, absolutely. So he went ahead and cut the mandolin part on there, and then Severin sang the song and sent it back to us. Did a great job on it. And then once we got those tracks back, we went ahead and started filling in, you know, all the pieces around it and got the rest of the song done. And I actually played the banjo that I built for him on that song.
Oh, cool. It's a great song. I love that story, but it's a great song because it is about old-fashioned things. I really like it a lot. Let me talk about this song. There's so many to choose from, but She Is a Gambler was one of my early favorites. And I want you to talk about where that song came from and who might be singing it.
That's a great tune. That's a tune that my wife, Melanie, wrote. And she wrote that probably a little over a year ago. And she brought me the words to that song, and we kind of around here, we'll sit with the guitar and, you know, come up with music for some lyrics and go through. And we did a demo for that one. And when I got the demo done, I was like, wow, this song is really, really good. So I had to beg her permission to let me put it on the album.
By the way, Melanie Wilson, and I'll say this to you in public or in private, it does a wonderful job at promoting and publicizing artists. And she's very kind to the people on this side of the microphone, makes my life easier. And she's very good with the people that she represents as artists and musicians and whatever. So I'm glad that she got a song on this album. I'm glad you were able to talk her into it.
That's right. She does a great job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorites on there, too. More of an upbeat thing. Autumn Leaves, I talked about just a little bit. And I'll hit on a little bit Long Hard Day, if you can kind of combine both of those. Autumn Leaves is really sort of about, and again, I do this by accident. Songs should be their own entity, and people should listen and take what, but the lyrics, which they won't hear this time through, on Autumn Leaves is really sort of like, the autumn leaves are off of trees that are around gravestones, that's what I get from it. So I get the feeling from that. It could be any number of things. I get the feeling from that is, we're all the same. It's a way of saying that we're all the same, not just that we're all the same at the end, but that we're all the same and we should all live good lives, because in the end we're all... Does that make any sense? This is kind of what
absolutely.
I feel from it, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, once we're gone, what difference does it make on a lot of those other things? You know, the things that we think separate us, you know, what difference do those things make once we're all gone? We're in the same place. You know, will anybody remember me when I'm under the autumn leaves?
Yeah.
You know, so absolutely.
That's good insight. It's a good, well, I mean, anybody could hear it a different way. They could just hear it about the trees. I don't know, but that's what I feel from it. Right. Long Hard Day, we kidded about a little bit, and I want to talk about that before we come back and hit one more introduction by you of the second cut on the album Midnight on the Highway. But Long Hard Day, that's a slower, and again, that's the spooky bookend to match up with When the Crow Comes Down. But let's fill out a little bit of information about Long Hard Day from your perspective, and then I want to have you introduce a song as we leave.
Sure. Long Hard Day, that one came about, my wife and I were sitting watching a show on Netflix. I think it was called The Fosters. Was a series that we were watching, and there was one of the scenes in there where this song was playing in the background, and it was kind of a rock tune, you know, and it was playing in the background, and it caught both of our ears, and we kind of looked at each other, and we went, so we backed it up, and we were listening to it again, so we started researching this song. We said, we got to find out where the song came from, and so we did the research on it, found out, you know, where the song came from, pulled it up, and said, we need to make this into a, you know, a bluegrass tune. But our original take on this song is we weren't going to keep it straight up completely bluegrass. So I've got Adam Plott is a great drummer from my area right here. And so I brought him in and a bunch of other people, and we started working on kind of a bluegrass / rocky type feel to it, you know. We had some drums on there, electric bass, and that's the reason for the two cuts on there, because we wanted an acoustic version, but we also wanted this version as well. So
okay. It makes sense.
Maybe somebody will enjoy both versions.
Yeah, it makes sense. Why not? You're all there. We'll do it.
it was a cool tune, and that one is actually the Wilson banjo that Tony Ray is playing. That's him playing his Wilson custom banjo on that cut.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. The whole album is solid. If you just tune in, I'm talking to Steve Wilson, Wilson Banjo Company, and we're the new album, 6 Degrees of Separation. We've been kind of going through that and discussing not only that, but Steve's skill as a luthier and building banjos, a little bit tiny, tiny fragment of the knowledge that he has and puts into each banjo that if you want, you would custom order from Steve, and he would put all that knowledge together for you. We featured at the beginning When the Crow Comes Down. That's going to be a single, released as a single very soon. There's going to be a video to go along, I guess, with it within a short number of days or a week. Who knows when the video is going to be done. But the album is available now, and that's at wilsonbanjo.com.
June 4th.
June 4th. All right. Okay, June 4th. All right. So that's good. This is. I've had a lot of fun talking banjo stuff and so many great guests on this. On this new release, we couldn't name them all. There's so many, you just have to get it to really figure out. Thanks so much for putting together such a great album. I want you then to, as I bid adieu to you and let you get back to your business of building banjos and making music, I want you to do an intro into a really good song on here, Midnight on the Highway. I'll have you introduce that one, and then I'll say goodbye to you. We'll play this one for the audience of Unreal Bluegrass.
Sounds great. Okay. Yeah, Midnight on the Highway. We were in studio, Scott Burgess, Sarah Logan, myself, and my wife, Melanie. We were in the studio late one night working on another song, and we had
one tune that we were working on that just didn't seem to fit the album very well. It was too much in the same vein as a couple other songs. So we ended up dropping that song. So we had a spot open, and we started talking about it, and Melanie had brought up Midnight on the Highway, an old Hot Rise tune. And, we said, absolutely, that's a great grass, just, you know, great song. So we went ahead and started working on the arrangement of it, and fired up the mics and got going on that one. So that's how that song, that's how that song came to be. So that night it was born and started.
That's good. That's good. Thank you again, Steve Wilson, for being on Unreal Bluegrass. I really appreciate the conversation and the great music that you sent me. We will play for
Thank
the
audience. Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. I appreciate it. And we're going to play for the audience Midnight on the Highway, as just described by you. And I wish you all the best. Stay healthy. And we'll see you down the line somewhere. And tell Melanie I said hello.
Absolutely. Will do. Thanks,
Pete. All right. This is Midnight on the Highway from Wilson Banjo Company.